Okay, we're starting a new Agarita here, and this is Siman Samech Vav, chapter 66, in Masechet Shabbat, in Rav Kook's commentary on the Agarita Einaya. And the Gemara tells as follows, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, it's on page 40, Zachor ha'ish ha'hu latuv, Litov v'chananya ben Chizkiya shmo. There was a Tana, one of the rabbis who wrote the Mishnah. His name is Chananya ben Chizkiya, and Chazal say he should be remembered for good. She'umaleihu nignaz sefer Yechezkel. Were it not for him, we would have had to shelve the book of Yechezkel. Yechezkel would not have been canonized, wouldn't have been put into Tanakh. Shayu dvarav sotrin divrei Torah. There are several things in Yechezkel which seem to contradict the words of the Torah. Now this is very important. Rav Kook isn't going to go into this, just a side point. The klal regarding Bible criticism is, we see there's nothing at all wrong with asking the questions. That something apparently contradicts something else in the Torah, not only is it legitimate, but it's something that we should do. In general, the answers of the Bible critics, that's where the problem is. But the questions, Davka, to a certain extent, they're more objective than we, or anyone who grew up on the at the feet of the Torah, the questions are good, and we're not scared and we're not embarrassed of the questions. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook used to say that ha'emet lo mefacheret me'af echad. The truth is not scared of anyone. And so what did Chananya ben Chizkiya do? He sat down to figure out the answers to the questions. Ma'asa, he'elulo shlosh mild garvei shemen. He brought him up 300 flasks of oil. Ve'yashav ba'aliyah v'darshan. And he sat down there in the attic, and he figured out the answers to the questions. Just an example of some of the questions Rashi points out. Divrei Torah, right, that psukim in the book of Ezekiel apparently contradict psukim in the Torah. Kegon nevela utrefa vegomer lo yochlu akohanim. It says kohanim should not eat dead animals which have not been slaughtered. HaYisrael ochlin. Does that infer that regular Jews who are not kohanim are allowed to eat that? V'chagon v'chein ta'ase b'shiv'a b'chodesh hecha nirmaz korban zeh b'torah. There's a pasuk in Yechezkel which says that a korban is brought on the seventh day of the month of Nisan. Where do we ever see such a korban? Garbei l'mor l'mezonot. They brought up these 300 flasks of oil. Also for light, because he was working apparently into the wee hours of the night, and also for food, that he stayed up there in his attic until he broke his head to answer the questions. Vidarshan, kedarshinan lahani kray b'menachot. The Gemara in Masechet Menachot brings several of the answers of Rabbi Chananya. Demishum diishtari malika bechatata of gabayu hutzrach laziran amalikat chulin sheinevela. For example, regarding the question, why does the prophet Yechezkel go out of his way to say that Kohanim have to slaughter and cannot eat a non-slaughtered animal? Because there's a havamina, because when regarding the Korban Chatat, the sin sacrifice of birds, it's done with malika, it's done with the thumbnail rather than a knife. And therefore you might think that just like that's kosher regarding a korban sacrifice, so maybe also a kohen would be allowed to eat a chicken that you also slaughter with a thumbnail. And that's why Yechezkel has to say kohanim are not allowed to eat that kind of meat. Regarding the question which he asks about Zayin Nisan, the Malbim there explains that there was a korban which was brought on Aleph Nisan, which is to atone for the sins which were done b'mezid, on purpose. And there was an additional korban which was brought on the seventh day of Nisan, this is the in the oral law, to atone for the sins which are done b'shogeg, by accident.
Is that one time, or are we talking about the one time at the dedication of the Mishkan, or are we talking about all the time? I don't understand.
If I look it up in the Malbim there. Did I write it down? No, I didn't write it down. I think it's Kaf Hei. I think Per Kaf Hei, if I remember correctly. Look it up in the where the pasuk is. But the Malbim is the one who answers it. Rav Kook says as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Baram Zachor Ha'isha Hu Latov V'Chananya Ben Chizkiah Shmo. We should remember this man for good, and Chananya Ben Chizkiah is his name. And the obvious question is why do we mention this man for good, and his name is Chananya? Why don't we just say that may Chananya Ben Chizkiah be remembered for good? Apparently there are two aspects here that we want to give him credit for. Shmo Shel Adam Mityaches lefi pu'ulotav. Here, first of all, Rav Kook relates to the importance of the name. Why did the rabbis feel it important to give credit and give his name, the name of the person who answered the questions on the book of Yechezkel? Because Shmo Shel Adam, a person's name, mityaches lefi pu'ulotav shepa'al al zulato. A person's name is the aspect of him which affects other people. V'zehu hefresh ben shem ha'adam le'atzmo shel ha'adam bichlal. The rabbis here are pointing out that there are two aspects to a person. There is his essence, and there is his name. The essence is the atzmo, the person himself, your neshama. Your name is that which affects how you affect other people, how they see you. Ha'adam bichlal yuchal le'yamer gam mitzad inyanav shel adam le'atzmo. A person could be understood as his inner self without any connection with what's going on outside. We know, Chazal tell us, that in every generation there are tzaddikim, according to one source, 36 tzaddikim in every generation, who we don't even know about. But their essence influences the spirituality of the generation. That's davka those who don't influence. There are those who have a name also, who they also influence. But the fact that when a person builds himself, builds his personality, his nefesh, his ruach, his neshama, this is something which even if nobody else is going to know about it. And the classic example is Musar. When a person builds himself in Musar, I think we mentioned once, it was famous in the Chafetz Chaim's Yeshiva of Radin, the guys used to take turns. They put out an interesting biography, the best biography that I've seen in the Chafetz Chaim, about 15, 20 years ago. Somebody from Bnei Brak went around to interview all these old men who, in their youth, had learned in Radin and had personally known of the Chafetz Chaim. And one of the things that a lot of them mentioned is that the guys used to take turns to hide in his attic, where he would go and do cheshbon ha-nefesh every night before he would go to sleep. And he would do it out loud. He would talk to himself in Yiddish. And obviously, he wasn't planning on anybody there listening. There's a good example where a person's atzmo and his shmo came together against his will, right? Because he didn't know anybody was listening, but he was working on himself. And this is the type of thing I know when I, there's certain times in life when a person does cheshbon ha-nefesh, passages, there's a famous book. One of the passages, when I was sitting shiva for my younger sister, in 7 days you have a lot of time to think of, you know, what your life is about. Also when I hit the age of 50, when you change the area code, there are certain times in life where you take stock. And one of the big changes that I made is that when I hit 50, it's also mentioned in the Sfarim that a person has to start thinking, preparing for the next world, which is the Atzmo. Your name, you don't take with you to the world to come. The only one who goes with you to the world to come is yourself. And especially parents, teachers, public figures who spend and do correctly, invest a lot of time in the needs of the community, of the nation, it's important not to live just for the nation, but adrabah, when you build yourself, you have that much more to give to the nation. And this, if you remember, when we spoke about the young rabbi, Shemet Bechatzi Yamav, who died in the middle of his days, where in general, the first half of your life, a person should be building himself in order that you have what to give to others. But I'm just mentioning parenthetically that it's very important, also in the second half of life, also to continue working on your atzmo, on yourself, and not just on your name.
I noticed that Hananiah ben Chizkiah is not Rabbi Hananiah ben Chizkiah, and it says that Gadol Mirab Rabbi.
That's interesting.
Gadol Mirabban
Shmo.
Shmo. And because right. It's called Shmo here, don't think that he was an ordinary guy, but he was a very special guy, especially because his name does not appear in a lot of places.
Okay, that's an important era, the fact that he's mentioned by his first name without the title Rav, in general, we're told in the Gemara, that's a compliment. Like Shmuel, Gadol Mirabban Shmo. Anyway, Rav Kook continues. So that's the idea of a person meets Leatzmo. Umnam. On the other hand, Hashem Eina Adam Tzarich Lashem B'Shvil Leatzmo. When we talk about, the Gemara says, let's remember this man and his name. His name is the aspect where he affects others. Kim B'Shvil Zulato Sheyuchal Likro Oto B'Shmo. That you identify a person. Now Chazal tell us in Kohelet Rabbah that every person has three names. There are several gersaot, so it's good to see it inside. This is in Midrash Rabbah Kohelet, chapter 7, 6, 3. Shalosh Shemot Nikra'u La'adam. A person is given three names, has three names. Echad shekaru lo aviv ve'imo. One is the name that his parents give him, which Rav Kook will talk about that soon. Ve'echad shekaru lo achirim, that others call you. It could be a nickname, a name that you make for yourself. Ve'echad shekaru lo b'sefer toldot briyato. And the third is that the name which you leave in the future for history. Now most people, their names are not remembered in history. Because of this Gemara, Hananya is remembered forever. Okay, now what do we, the name that a person is given from his parents, that is usually the ideal that your parents want you to grow up to be. Right? Parents who like nature, very often give names from nature. Right? Rosenberg, right? All their kids are Ma'ayan, Tomer, what are some of the other ones? They're all from the nature. Some families give names of strength, Gvura, or heroism, like Tzur, Tzuk, Shimshon, Gidon. And a child who grows up with these names knows from the day that he's born that his family sees a value in that midah, in that character trait. Okay, so that's very often a nivuah shemagshima tatzma, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy where your parents give you a name and you grow up in that direction. Okay? I think I gave a shiur once on the yeshuv, I wrote an article about Nimrod, about the possibility where that name came from. And there are several possibilities. One possibility is that his parents named him Let's Rebel. Nimrod literally means Let's Rebel, which infers the type of education that he got in his house. Second possibility is that it's a nickname that the Chevra gave him when he decided to rebel. Another possibility is the name, title that he chose for himself. Like Avimelech, Paro, and we know that kings in the Tanakh chose titles for themselves that wasn't really their name, but it was. So A person's name is also how his parents want to see him, how others see him, and how history is going to see him. But the common denominator is we're talking not about your essence, but about your relationship to others, also today and also in the future. Alken, kishanu rotzim litzayadam. It's interesting. Just last week in the Beit El website, somebody asked me a question about Hebraicizing a family name. And always before I answer, you know, I like to research the topic myself and the sources. But I also like to see what else has been written on the topic. And Rav Aviner is a famous tshuva on the topic. And I Googled to see if anybody on the internet wrote about it. The only tshuva that I found is somebody who just gave a very one-sided answer against, and against, saying that when you Hebraicize your name, you're cutting yourself off from your family and cutting yourself off from tradition and history, and where you could understand that aspect. On the other hand, the fact that so many Rabbanim, great Rabbanim, from the Chatam Sofer, he called himself not Schreiber, but he always signed his name Sofer in Hebrew. Or here we have on the bottom, Shelot Tshuvot Mishneh Halachot by Rabbi Menashe Klein, who doesn't call himself Klein, he calls himself Katan, right, which is Klein in Yiddish. Rabbi Menashe HaKatan. Or the Maram Shik, who chose the name Shik because he Hebraicized it, he wanted the Rashi Tevot, Shmot Yisrael Kodesh. Not to mention Rav Goren, Rav Yisraeli, Rav Neria, Rav Bina.
Wasn't that something Shvili? Right.
Not Shvili, but it was in Yiddish, yeah. And it's also Hebraicized. Rav Meir Bar Ilan, yafeh. In other words, there is what to say when especially when a person decides a name for himself. It's very common. I've seen among students who are Chozrim B'Tshuva who don't have Hebrew names, especially girls. It's more common that they don't have a Hebrew name, or if they have a Yiddish name and not a Hebrew name, and they want to have a Hebrew name. But there is a name which a person makes for himself. But even then, even when you choose a name for yourself, it is how you want others to see you, because you don't use your name yourself. Alken, kishanu rotzim letzayer pu'ulat adam gadol, hashlema al ha'olam. Right, when we want to talk, we want to understand the actions of a great person on the world. Anu mitzayrim oto lo mitzad atzmo, ki mitzad shmo. That's when we relate to his name. Again, not literally just his name, but the name that he makes for himself. Klomar pu'ulato al ma shechutzlo. The actions that he gives to outside of himself. Ubasher klal gadolhu shemegalgalin zchut al yedei zakai. Umishu zoche liyot rashum bedavar gadol vekavua lidorot betikun olam benogel lezulato. Huvadai hashalem shemitzad atzmo gam ken yishlim chok hashlimut vakdusha. Very often when a person goes down in history, it's not just his name, but it really comes from his essence. Otherwise, why did he make it there? So many times in history, I remember in high school, whenever we had to write a paper in history, and we had to come up with a topic, our teachers always came up with something to do with Adolf Hitler, Yimach Shmo. Did the man make the times, or did the times make the man?
Action or reaction.
Right.
Oh. Classic argument.
Action or reaction, right? And usually, like Rav Kook writes himself in Enaya, it's a combination of the two. The right person has to come around at the right time. And that's what Chazal say, Megalgalin Zchut Al Yedei Zakai. It could have been somebody else theoretically. Like it says in Megillat Esther, when Mordechai says to Esther when she wants to stay in the closet and not come and help the Jewish people, Mordechai says, "Im hacharish tacharish ileid kazot, revach v'atzala yavula yehudim mimakom acher, v'atu beit avich tovedu." Right? Don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find somebody else to save Am Yisrael. Someone's going to do it. But it's, if you're Zocha, you take the action, it will be called Megillat Esther. It could be called Megillat Zelda, or Megillat Sara, or Rivka, or something else, right? And that's what the relationship between the free will of man and the way God runs history. As Rav Kook writes in Enaya, the script is written, but the individual can volunteer to play the role. Right, when the fifth grade teacher comes, you know, he says, we're going to put on a play. It's always Fiddler on the Roof, right? And, okay, so yeah, everyone says, I want to be Tevye, I want to be this, I want to be that. Right? That is where a person, he is the one who chooses to make the times. God runs the times, but Megalgalin Zchut al Yedei Zakai. Chazal mentioned this about the Pasuk of Varotzeach B'Shogeg, where it says that somebody is unintentional murder. The example that he's climbing up a ladder and somebody is walking underneath the ladder. The guy who's climbing falls down, kills him by accident. The person who was killed, that's not a coincidence. There was some tikkun that needed to be made. It's not necessarily a punishment, but there's a reason why he died. But also there's a reason why it was Mr. Ploni who fell off the ladder and killed him by accident. Megalgalin chova al yedei chayav, v'zchut al yedei, nothing is accidental. And therefore, when a person does a great thing, historically, there is significance to the fact that he was the one who chose to get up and do. That says something about himself. And it also says something about his essence. Okay? That a person, we all know that there are some people who go into politics or go into public fields because they want attention, right? They want honor, they want, they do it for other people. On the other hand, the real Hanhaga, like David HaMelech, is the youngest of the brothers. That you need a Navi, a prophet, to come and say, no, you're the person. Or Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem tells you the person. Moshe tries to get out of it, right? Humility, that is a person's essence, where he's not pushing himself, but he, those are the people who are going to be leaving their mark on history, right? When you see, you read the biography of Herzl, for example, it's unbelievable. He just dedicated his entire life to the dream of founding a Jewish state. He left everything, including his family, and he was super idealistic. Now, Davka's an interesting example because his grandfather was a chassid of Rav Yehuda Alkalai, who was really the first Mevaser Tzion, was the first rabbi who already early in the 19th century was writing about the need to go back to the land of Israel and to build a state and to have Jewish farmers and Jewish workers and a Jewish army. And I don't believe that Herzl, who didn't read or write Hebrew, read the writings of his grandfather. As a matter of fact, no. It was his grandfather, I don't even think he wrote. His grandfather was a chassid of Rav Alkalai, so for sure, Herzl didn't read the writings of Rav Alkalai. Nevertheless, it might have been an idea of Megalgalin Zchut al Yedei Zakai, that maybe B'Zchut Avot, that the Zchut of this grandfather, there were other people like Herzl who wanted a Jewish state, but he was the one who succeeded. Also because he was talented, also because he was the most dedicated, but also Megalgalin Zchut al Yedei Zakai.
Is anything else known about Hananya ben Chizkiah?
I looked up in Otsar Yisrael, nothing really significant.
Umishu zoche liyot rashum b'davar gadol v'kavua l'dorot b'tikun olam b'nogea l'zulato. When a person comes and does something great, historical, for
others, who vadaya shalem shemitzad atzmo. It's not just his name, but also his essence. Gamken hishlim chok hashlemut vakdusha leman yelanu limud ledorot, as a lesson forever. Kidvarim gdolim klaliim letova, great important historical things. Yatzu omnam mi'anashim shem la'atzmam gam ken anshei kodesh, yirei Hashem anshei tzedek. It's people who inside essentially are idealistic. And they could have continued being lamed vav tzadikim and nobody would blow their cover. But it goes together with the shame. Alken, amar baram. Zachora isha hu letov mitzad atzmo. That's how Rav Kook explains. What does the Gemara say? Let us remember this man before it even mentions his name. Because the man, the essence of the man, that is important as well. Umnam. Hazechira hi ma she'asa davar gadol. Hamitpashet yoter mi'inyan atzmo. But the great historic thing that we're talking about is something which is outside of him, that he saved the book of Yechezkel. אבל מפני שהוא עצמו ראוי להיזכר לטוב, זאתי שעמדה לו שהצליח בידו להיות משלים את שמו. The fact that he had that inner drive, that he himself had great midot, that is what got him to complete his name, to realize his potential. כלומר, פועל דבר גדול ביחס זולתו, regarding others, שהוא ערך של שמו. And that's the second aspect. And that's why the Gemara goes out of its way to mention, don't forget, his name as well. Vine. Lasot, and this is something which is very important, because the road to hell is paved with good intentions. A lot of people intended to do good things, but they didn't go about it in the right way, or they didn't go about it l'shem shamayim, idealistically. And the ego very often overshadows, and that's what Rav Kook is talking about. V'nei la'asot davar gadol adoresh hit'amtzut raba. To do a great thing, which demands a lot of energy, a lot of dedication, tzarich she'chalitz ha'ish ha'po'el b'chol kochot ha'tov shelo. A person has to draft, all has to, legayis, how do you say, not draft,
to recruit.
All of his energies, all of the powers that he has at his disposal, all the kelim. Bein otam shem knuyim lo miteva atzmo ubechirato, whether we're talking about things that are in his nature, his IQ, his intelligence, his charisma, or bechirato, which is a second topic, his free will, his what he chooses to do, to choose correctly. Bein otam shekvuim bo al pi mizgo v'toladto mitzad horav. In addition, there's the aspect of nature, what you got from your DNA. There is the aspect of nurture, that which you got from your parents. And that's the reason also Rav Kook is relating to why we don't only mention his name, but also the name of his father. Al ken biyadenu shegam aviv haya rashum b'torah v'gadol b'Yisrael. His father was also a great Tana, Chizkiah. Several halachot are mentioned in the name of Chizkiah, his father. V'day gam mimenu yarash dvarim rabim unetiyot l'tova. He obviously inherited, and here, as Rav Kook said a minute ago, inherited not just genetically, but the education, like we said by Nimrod. A person is raised in a certain atmosphere, he's taught in a certain atmosphere by his father, by his mother. I know that my brother...
The known Tana Chizkiah?
Yeah.
Okay.
My brother put out a sefer, the Ramban's Chidusha Ramban Masechek Tuvot. And he writes there... at the beginning of the Sefer, Ezra Daniel ben Harav Meshulam. So my father said jokingly, he said, hey, I didn't do anything and I got my name here. And he even called me a Rav and he wrote the book. he said jokingly, I didn't do anything. But that's exactly one of the reasons why we call, and here that's what Rav Kook is saying, why do we call a person after his father? Because you're not born in a vacuum. A person does not fall far from the tree where he was raised. I was talking to a student last week who wants to make Aliyah, wants to stay in Israel. And as is often the case, the parents don't want her to. They want her to go back and get her schooling, university, in America. So I always ask, and I've seen this case hundreds, if not thousands of times. I first ask, a little about the parents. And in 9 out of 10 cases, the parents are the ones who instilled in the daughter their love for the land of Israel, their idealism, their dedication. Very often the parents themselves at one point thought of making Aliyah.
And then they get cold feet.
And exactly, and they chickened out. And basically, the parents have no one to complain to but themselves. That the child is taking them more seriously than they take their own ideology. And the child is just, he's not rebelling.
It's fulfilling.
He's continuing exactly in the way, and that's what Rav Kook is saying. A person is not independent of his background. You don't grow up in a vacuum. And that's why the Gemara goes out of its way not only to mention Hananya by name, and we mentioned why the name is important, but also his father's name. We're talking about a mission which he volunteered for, which took a lot of to marshal a lot of strength, intellectual, midot, right? Can you imagine what a responsibility it is to make sure that a book isn't taken out of Tanakh? Heskem chazak v'chifetz kabir, right? Not only physically to raise 300 flasks of oil into the attic, it's also expensive. Also, who was supporting the family during those years that he was working on it. And the same thing really with anybody who takes upon himself a public job, like Herzl, thank God today that we have a state. The Prime Minister does get a salary. But very often, especially in the field of education, where the salary isn't all that much, there is a large sacrifice, physical, economic sacrifice, that's involved in order lehitiv ledorot habaim, to do something of historical importance for the future generations. La'arich yafeh et erech ha'pu'la ba'atid kamo she'yivuar. And here Rav Kook is explaining, why does the Gemara go into detail of who cares how many flasks of oil they raised into the attic? The idea is, again, that there are two aspects, as Rashi points out. There's the economic sacrifice. He wasn't working during those years, and it's very expensive. He has to continue eating. He has to continue burning oil. And that's not a small thing. Very often when we think of Rabbanim or public figures, we don't really think who's supporting their family. And there are a lot of stories of Rav Kook. I saw recently in the minutes of the Yafo Moetza, of the Moetza Ta'ir of the city of Yafo, where Rav Kook was the chief rabbi in Tafresh Samech Dalet in 1904, where he really didn't have too much of a salary. And his wife kept complaining that there was no salary coming in. So the board thought that she was complaining that they weren't paying enough. But she meant that they weren't getting a penny. And they said, well, we pay him every month. So she asked Rav Kook, her husband, they pay you? So he says, yeah, but there's so many poor people who come and ask me for help. So by the time I get home, I end up giving away all my money. And it's a true story, it's a documented story. And that's another problem. The very often righteous people that the community doesn't even think what they're living off of, but they're so righteous that even the little money that they do have, they don't even think of, of their own needs. And that's a reason, or Rav Kook is pointing out, why the Gemara goes into the detail how many hundreds of flasks of oil they raised up to the attic. Al kein ra'ui lizacher b'shmo v'shem aviv litov v'chananya ben chizkia shmo. That's why we remember him, his essence, and his name, and his father's name.